The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
At 9:35, right, okay, 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. Christine Beck, young mum of two, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
And thanks for coming in to see us today.
Thanks for having me.
Your story that you're going to tell us this morning all begin last April, is that right?
Yeah.
So it's quite fresh.
Like the tail end of April, yeah, and around Easter.
What triggered the story? What made you decide there's something up here? What was happening in your life?
So I was just sleeping a lot, which was very unusual. I would sleep 14 hours and I wake up, go downstairs and I'd be asleep on the couch again. Could not keep myself awake whatsoever. So I thought that was a bit weird and I had a GP appointment anyway, just to go in and get a smear. And I kind of said to the GP, I was like, this is very weird, my sleeping. And not only that, but I was feeling like the room would kind of shift, like my knees would give out. Kind of similar to what I thought was vertigo.
Okay.
So she said, right, what we'll do is we'll do blood tests. It's probably a little virus that could pass, but we'll just test for everything and we'll see where we are in a week. So I was like, that's fine.
Makes sense. Yeah. And you kind of relax when you know something's been done.
And I had, like, sinusitis then a couple of months ago. I was like, it's probably something, you know, just still in my system. So I was like, that's fine. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. We done the blood tests on the Thursday. And then by the weekend, what was going from my knees buckling progressed to me falling. I had absolutely no control of my muscles. My muscles would just go into paralysis and I'd fall, or my speech would slur. I couldn't hold my head up. I couldn't hold a knife and fork at dinner. I couldn't hold drinks. I was spilling them. Like, it happened so very fast.
If I didn't know you and I was watching these things happening, what would I think was happening?
You'd think I was drunk, or even like... It did look like I was like a drunk a lot of the time. Or even one time in a shopping centre, I was being served and the girl kind of said to me, my sister's epileptic too. Like, so then I was like, is it epilepsy? Like, it didn't look like epilepsy to me.
And your kids are how old?
They were 2 and 10 months at the time.
And
they're 3 and 1 now.
And their names?
Logan and Noah.
Logan and Noah.
Yeah.
So you've got the kids, you got your husband, the whole world should be hunky-dory.
Perfect.
But all these things started to happen.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the blood test then. They returned and glean any information from that?
They didn't. So on the Monday, that weekend got very bad. So I was just like, I'm going back to the doctor. And she checked the bloods and she's like, some have come back and what have come back are fine, but not everything is back. We need to wait the week because she was testing me for glandular fever, which is what she suspected, which would take a week. But then I had one of these episodes of falling in front of her. So she was like, okay, time to go down to A&E. So she wrote me a letter, sent me down, and I went down then straight from the doctors.
Right, how did that go?
So went down to A&E and was seen, and again, it was like, it's so strange. If you're not looking at it, if it's not happening at the time, it's so hard to describe what was happening.
Yes.
So the doctors were like, right, we're going to admit you. We're going to do an MMR. We're going to do a few more tests and we'll kind of see from there. So I was admitted, kept overnight, and the next day I went for an MMR. And then when you're in... I was staying in A&E. There was no beds, so I was to stay in A&E. And the doctor that happened to kind of come around the next day after my MMR, which was clear, he was a respiratory specialist and he had a special interest in sleep medicine.
Well, that was just a...
That was just the luck of the draw. So
just to pause for a moment, the MMR came back saying nothing's wrong.
Nothing's wrong. All
so
clear.
It's a total mystery. So now we're the doctor's doing the rounds, and did he have other doctors, doctors with him?
He did, and it was like literally so lucky that he had a special interest in sleep medicine.
So he stops and says, what's your story?
Yeah, so he handed me his phone and he said, do that test there. And I now know that was the Epworth sleep scale. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a series of questions, right, from 1 to 3. Would you fall asleep in this scenario? And I'd done that. And he said, I'm 98% certain that you have narcolepsy with cataplexy. I'll refer you for a sleep study. And that was the first I heard of that. And then I asked how long the sleep study would be, and I was told 14 months. So then I asked, how do you expect me to live like this for 14 months? Because I've went from being a little bit tired to not being able to stand.
Yes.
I have kids. I cannot live like this for 14 months. And I was told, well,
That's your lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So went home, Googled narcolepsy with cataplexy, and it was the first time when I read the symptoms, it was the first time I read something that I was able to say, yes, that is what it is. Mm. It was the first description I heard that resonated with me. I was like, absolutely.
You know how much doctors hate
Google.
Googling.
Do you know how much I hated being sent home with no treatment?
I bet you. I bet you. And that's what I'm saying to you, yeah, is that sometimes you can Google something and it can scare the bejeepers out of you. Or in your case, it confirmed, as you saw it, what was wrong.
Yeah.
Because you were frustrated, obviously.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and it seemed to be getting worse.
And so fast.
So what did you do with the information that you...
So then, in that time, I was like, I didn't know what to do. I ended up going, it then got worse. I went back to A&E.
Yes.
I said, begged, pleaded, cried. Was having multiple cataplexy attacks in A&E, and the doctor there told me, there's nothing we can do. I said, you have to treat me. Like, even if you suspected a brain tumour, you'd still treat the headache. Like, you're telling me you're 98% certain. Like, please give me something so I can hold my child.
And I suppose I'm not trying to take away from the pain that you're going through.
Yeah.
And I should say MRI scan. We both said MMR. It's, yeah, the MRI scan. My mistake as well. When you have these and the doctor's saying there's nothing wrong, and you're saying, no, but I'm falling down. Mm-hmm. I can't hold my child. It must be very frustrating to try and convince them that this isn't just some random tiredness episode.
Yeah.
This is a consistent thing. Well, so how did you eventually bring them round to your sense of urgency?
I didn't. What happened was I was sent home with the advice. I was told two things. She was like, I can call a psych team down. And I said, I'm not depressed. I don't need a psych team. I'm crying because you won't treat me. And then I was told, well, then you can go home and just take care not to fall. I was back in less than a week after falling down the stairs holding my 10-month-old.
What happened that time?
So we were walking down the stairs and I was on the second step down and I had a cataplexy attack. My right leg went behind me, got trapped in the banisters. So I continued to fall about 5 steps. I was able to hold on to Noah. Thank God he was not hurt. But my leg, I could hear that it was damaged before I even felt it. So it was just me and the kids in the house. Logan, I asked him to get me my phone and he did. So I called 999 straight away. And then I called every member of my family and my fiance and I told them, whoever's closest, get here. I'm about to pass out and I'm holding Noah. So it took about 30 minutes for the paramedics to get there and they were about to break down the door. But thankfully, Logan, he ran and he got a sweep and brush, God bless him, and he was unlatched the door so they didn't have to break it down.
A little MacGyver.
Oh my God, I didn't know he could do that. He's an absolute hero.
Yeah.
Like, he was rubbing my head, he was kissing me, he was telling me Daddy would fix it, it would be okay. He was going to get toys for Noah. Noah was struggling to get out of my arms. I was holding him so tight to not drop him. And he got toys for Noah to distract him. Like, he was unreal. And the paramedics came. It was about 40 minutes then. They got me out of the banisters and brought me up to Tala Hospital. And then the next day I had surgery.
On your leg?
On my leg, yeah.
Okay. What about the narcolepsy and...
So while I was in the hospital, I was in for about 10 days.
Yeah.
While I was in the hospital, obviously it wasn't so much of a concern because I was just lying in the bed. But my orthopedic surgeon, thankfully, it was decided I was going private. I couldn't wait 14 months. The private waitlist is 10 months. So
it's hardly a leap, is it?
Not really. So thankfully, my orthopedic surgeon actually rang the private consultant and said, I can't discharge her. If she falls again on this leg.
Fast track.
Yeah, please do. So I was able to then get an appointment. I had a 2-month wait then.
Okay.
But I was on 24-hour bed rest. So whenever I got home, I went straight upstairs to my room and I did not leave until I had my appointment with the sleep consultant.
So how long were you bed?
Like three months.
3 months?
In a room, on my own.
How much of the day, on a given day, were you sleeping? Were you 14 hours or more?
And narcolepsy is very weird. I fall asleep very easily.
Yeah.
But I don't have a good sleep. It's not restful and I wake a lot.
Bad dreams?
Very vivid dreams and hallucinations. Like, I will talk to people who are not there. When I'm going into sleep and when I'm coming out of sleep. So it's very bizarre. I never knew what it was. I was so ignorant.
And can you or should you medicate for that?
So yeah, but you need the sleep study first.
I see. So you do the sleep study and then they can say, right, well, you'll need this in the morning to wake up and this in the evening to regulate your sleep pattern, I presume.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you take, during the day, you take like amphetamines.
Right. It's quite intense.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
To keep you going during the day. And then at night, like there's a few options. There's many options and people take different things. I take Xyrem, which I take two doses. So the first dose is at 10 o'clock and that puts me asleep. And then 4 hours later, ping, I'm awake. I take my second dose and that puts me asleep for another 4 hours. And it cuts out the REM cycle.
Okay.
So with narcolepsy, you're constantly in REM. So you're not getting that restorative deep sleep.
Rapid eye movement.
Yes. Yeah, constantly dreaming.
Okay. Do you, when your sleep pattern is as completely disrupted, if not destroyed, as yours, I know that if anyone listening, and all of us, if we have a terrible night's sleep, you're kind of demented for the next day because it just doesn't sit right with you. So if you're narcoleptic, what's that doing to your psychology or your head?
So basically, a person with narcolepsy would function, like if you were to not sleep for 3 days straight, that's how we feel every day.
That's pretty rough.
Yes,
it's dark, to say the least.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then you can, what, can you watch TV? Can you listen to, can you drive? Can you?
You can drive when your medication is under control.
Okay.
Some people can't at all. So if your medication is under control, you can. I can't watch films. It takes me like a week to watch an episode of Peaky Blinders.
How long into it do you get before you're gone?
Oh, minutes.
And that's not to blame the program. It's because you're the way you are. Yeah.
Like I love reading. Love reading. I'm dying to read Sophie White's new book. Can't read it.
Oh no.
No.
Is it that bad?
Yeah.
So how can you be a mum to your kids then as well? Because if that's out, how's parenting?
So I take controlled naps. So set my alarm for 20 minutes. Give myself a nap and then that gets me through like 2 hours.
You'll have a run at it then with the kids.
And just keep moving and keep concentrating. So certain people have triggers. It's not that Hollywood style fall asleep in your cornflakes or fall asleep like head down in the dinner table. For me anyway, it's not
like that. Do you
think
that that representation, that there is a sense that there's a kind of taking the mickey?
Absolutely. And I was, and I was one of them people.
What do you mean?
Like I used to joke to my fiance all the time, we'd be watching something and he'd fall asleep and I'd be like, do you have narcolepsy? I'm not even joking. Like I would always say that to him. And that's what I thought. I was so ignorant to what it actually is. And I never knew about cataplexy. And that to me is the worst part of
it
all.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
So cataplexy is when my body goes into paralysis. So basically, when you're in REM sleep, your body is paralyzed to stop you acting out your dreams. When I'm awake, that happens to me. My body just goes into paralysis.
So
and I fall.
You fall.
And I injure myself.
For example, sitting and performing, you seem really lively and, you know, upbeat and chipper and all the rest of it.
Yet I'm very heavily medicated.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you really? Mm-hmm. And did you have to go the extra mile because you were coming on the radio or?
No, you see, it's very early days, so I'm still not even on full dose yet.
So have you been diagnosed then?
Yes, officially diagnosed
in July. As narcoleptic and?
Type 1 narcolepsy with cataplexy is my diagnosis.
And is that something, is it curable?
No, it is not. It's so little is still known about it. And I got it, like my symptoms came on so fast. It takes 7 years for people to get diagnosed or to go from feeling a little bit tired to where I went to in a couple of weeks. Not curable, but very treatable.
Okay.
With the right diagnosis.
And do you feel the medication has got you into the place you need to be?
I can leave my house now. I wasn't leaving my house before.
And you weren't leaving your house because I presume you're afraid of falling.
And
I would imagine it knocks your confidence, does it?
Absolutely. Like talking to people, just having conversations and suddenly like your head drops, your speech slurs. Like there is a perception out there that I'm drunk. And imagine seeing a woman walking or trying to do her shopping with two kids and you're seeing her slur her words.
Weaving in and out.
Weaving or my knees just suddenly buckling while I'm trying to push a trolley. Like there is that perception that, okay, that woman at 2 o'clock in the afternoon is taking care of two babies, essentially drunk.
But that's gone now, that type of thing, is it?
Like
the nodding off or this.
It's not gone. The medication gets you like 80% there.
Yeah.
Sometimes stressful situations can push you over the edge. Like maybe if you're sick, like if you get a cold, your symptoms could kind of come back. Like it's never gone. Like, you live with it every day and you learn to manage it and learn to manage your triggers. It's all about now me finding exactly what triggers me.
And what's triggering these days?
Like, so say, it's going to sound so ridiculous, whenever my one-year-old was learning to walk, every time you take a few steps, I'd be so, oh my God, you're walking. And then I'd have an attack because I was so happy that he's walking. Or, do you know, whenever...
Isn't that it's kind of weirdly ironic?
Yeah, I know. Or my toddler, or Logan, he started preschool this year.
Yes.
And on the Friday was the first day he went in happy without asking me to stay. And I was just so happy that he was sitting there with friends settled that I had an narcolepsy attack, a cataplexy attack in
his
school.
You need to be less happy.
Apparently so.
you need to watch really sad things.
But it's not just that really sad things get me too. I had to stop watching Game of Thrones because it was too exciting.
Come on. Really?
Yes. Like, I could, honestly, when I was unmedicated, I couldn't get through an episode of Game of Thrones.
And now, did you finish it in the end?
No. I haven't got back to it yet.
If the meds are right now, you should be able to finish it.
I'm still falling asleep, though.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I mentioned your husband, but you're due to get married. You mentioned fiancé in November 2020. So that's another little while ago, 12 months time. So, you know, you're excited, you presume, about life and the future.
Yeah.
Are you? No, that wasn't very convincing. Yes,
I'm excited about life and the future. I'm nervous about the wedding.
Oh, the wedding. I thought you were going to talk to me about a medical nervousness. But when you say you're nervous about the wedding, is it the bigness of it or are you thinking about the narcolepsy?
Well, where do you schedule naps on your wedding day? Like between I do and the speeches?
Well, you're an expert at scheduling these naps now, so you'll know what to do.
Like, weddings are emotional, so I'm going to be saying my vows but falling to the floor in a dress. Like, do you know...
Just have a seat on standby. Have a throne on standby. You'll get through it. Don't worry yourself into a state because it's going to be beautiful and everyone will know that they need to mind you a little bit and it'll be grand.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.
You'll have no trouble at all. Do you feel it's liberating to talk about it publicly?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I didn't know, I knew so little about it, I'm finding loads of people don't know about it. And in the beginning, when people would say, are you drunk, epilepsy, this, that and the other, I'd kind of just be like, yeah, because... When you say narcolepsy with cataplexy, it's like, well, what is that? And then it's like
a 20-minute explanation.
Yeah, yeah. But now I'm telling everyone because it's something that needs to be talked about.
It's World Narcolepsy Day
this Sunday.
With three events all happening in Bray and Cork and Sligo, narcolepsyireland.org. So this is a thing.
It is.
And it's a thing that's been discussed by people like you, Naomi, who come on and give us your time. And also to make people like me and hopefully the listeners... a lot more, excuse me, I keep calling you Naomi. It's Christine, my apologies. I've got my head a bit all over the place after the plowing. Sorry, Christine. With people like me who don't know enough about it and need to know a bit about it so that we can then explain, or at least when we see somebody even in the shop, take a breath and say, hang on, maybe it's not as what it all appears at first. That's the point of it all. And are you part of a group as well?
So whenever... narcolepsy came up, I contacted Narcolepsy Ireland. It's a very new charity set up and they were so helpful in just someone to vent to tell me that my symptoms were actually legitimate things, other people experience it, and most of all that there is help there.
Yeah.
Like 1 in 2,000 people in Ireland have it, but it's so misdiagnosed because doctors don't know enough.
Yes.
Like the HSE really need to put funding into educating doctors at primary care level so that they don't have to repeatedly go to A&E and beg for help.
And try and sort
it out. Like, I feel so let down, and I'm not the only one. Everyone out there has had some story about how they were let down in their diagnosis.
And do you feel that you're in a better place now? Having found your way through the jungle, as it were.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, that's, like, I wouldn't leave my house before medication. Like, I was so afraid to go do anything.
It's an amazing story. As the text says, it's shocking to know how little is known about narcolepsy and how long it took medical help, but very brave of Christine to share her story this morning. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having
me. Here's to the great wedding.
Thank you.
Here's to the boys.
Yeah.
And here's to you finishing Game of Thrones.
One day.
All of the above. Christine Beck, thanks for coming in to see us this morning. Can't wish you enough good fortune in the future and appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
All right, it's 6 minutes to 10.